Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, the Word of God says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And let's pray. Lord, as we turn to the Scripture tonight, we ask that You'd help us on this study of joy, something we all need, something that the world just seems to zap right out of us. And I pray that as Christians we wouldn't just understand the mental facts about the Bible, that we wouldn't just have the faith, which is, of course, the beginning of it all, but that, Lord, we would also be filled with Thy Spirit and experience all the other benefits of being Your child. And this thing called joy is so valuable. And I pray tonight You'd help us as we learn more about how to get joy, and that we wouldn't forget this message, and the Holy Ghost would remind us often. And Lord, would You speak to hearts and mold us and shape us into Your image, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So this morning we preached the first half of a message, and tonight I'm going to preach the rest of it. Don't often do that, but occasionally we do. And I'm going to preach it in such a way where if you missed this morning, you'll be able to easily follow along tonight. Or if this is the first message If this is the first message you heard, you'll still be able to follow along. And so tonight I want to talk about this idea of joy. And so joy is gladness from God. Let's say it together. Joy is gladness from God. So much of the world focuses on happiness. What's going on around me makes me happy, makes me feel good. But the Bible says God is able to provide joy, and that is a gladness that is not dependent upon your circumstances. Now imagine how powerful this is. Rather than being a victim to circumstance and feeling good when random things happen to you and feeling bad when random things happen to you, imagine if you could take control of your gladness. That's a life changer. And joy cuts the cord from your circumstances and allows you to be glad in times when other people are like, "Boy, you should be ready to go jump off a bridge, but you're praising the Lord." Not that you don't cry, not that things aren't heavy, but you have an inner joy that comes from God that sustains you. The Bible says, we'll talk about this in coming weeks, the joy of the Lord is your strength. There is a strength that comes from joy that you don't get from anywhere else. A strength that just puts, it just strengthens you from the inside out. And whenever your circumstances should be crushing you, they don't. You have an inner steel, a divine power that sometimes, even with tears running down your face, you can say, "Praise God. I thank God." And boy, how valuable. And this is, joy is something that each one of us needs. It's something that each one of us ought to have. And I believe it's something that each one of us want to have. So here's the premise of the sermon. Joy is available to you anytime. You say, "I had a bad day today." There's joy available. Just had a loved one die. There's joy available. Just got diagnosed with a terminal disease. There's joy available. Just lost my job. There's joy available. Regardless of the circumstance, since joy comes from God, it is completely separated from what's going on around you. And as soon as we understand that there is that thing called joy, and I can have it anytime I need it, now we're in a divine plane. Now we're in a spiritual realm that the rest of the world has nothing, knows nothing about. And let me just tell you something, friend. I'm a big believer that if you're a Christian, you have benefits available to you the world doesn't have. And I think it's a huge disappointment whenever people get saved and they never learn how to enjoy those benefits. And honestly, it's like some Christians have a life pretty much like a lost person, except they've got their sins forgiven. I'm not for that type of Christianity. I want to experience all that God has for me. And we understand this idea of joy. It's available. And we talked about this idea of having a cup. And matter of fact, I need a drink. That's a good sermon illustration. All right, so we have a cup. And if I know where the water faucet is, I can go fill up my cup anytime. Some days you drink it fast, some days you drink it slow, but your cup can always be full. When it runs out, as it always does, we know where to go get more. We also talked about some Christians don't know where the water faucets are. They don't know where the joy wells are, so they have to wait until someone brings them joy. It's like me giving you a bottle of water, but as soon as a bottle of water's out, you don't know where to get more. And so once again, you're dependent upon others around you or circumstances to make you feel good. And that's the opposite of joy. Joy is I can fill up my cup with gladness from God regardless of my circumstances. How many of you would like to have a little bit of that? I could use some of that today. And praise the Lord, I know I'm going to need it tomorrow. And so let's look tonight at these faucets. Now this morning we talked about three sources from joy. We talked about the Scripture and God's Word. If you can get past the rebukes and warnings that bring conviction and concern, then you get into the promises and encouragement that can heal you and bring great joy to your heart as you study the Scripture. Then secondly, we talked about salvation. A salvation is a source of joy. And it's a shame, but oftentimes we as Christians, we don't revisit our salvation enough. Salvation is the best thing that ever happened to you, and you can rejoice or joy all over again anytime you choose by going back to the day of salvation. Listen, I can be on my deathbed, and I can go back and visit that time I got saved, and it's going to put some gladness in my heart. It's going to put a smile on my face because I am made righteous through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And when I meet God, it won't be as a sinner. It'll be as a son. Man, anytime I want, I can joy all over again in my salvation. And I encourage you, every day you ought to praise the Lord. Every day you ought to thank the Lord for your salvation. And if nothing else is going right, maybe you have a day like Job where literally you just lost everything. You didn't lose your salvation. And you can always get joy. So we talked about the Scripture. We talked, number two, about salvation. Number three, we talked about supplication. John 16:24. Jesus said that through prayer, our joy can be full. And we talked about spending time in the presence of God, and that brings joy. Answers to prayer bring great joy, the Bible says. And so we're learning where to get joy. So if I need joy tomorrow, then I know I can go to the Scriptures. I know I can return to my salvation. I know I can go to my prayer closet. And there's seven other faucets or wells of joy that I want to give you tonight, and I've got to move fast. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on any of them, but I want to give you the outline, whet your appetite, write these things down or get the sermon and go back and listen to it. And learn where these wells of joy are. So anytime you need to, you can say, Lord, I need some joy. And you can run over to that faucet and open it up. And you'll have joy available to you. And so tonight we started in Galatians chapter 5. And verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Now all of these fruit of the Spirit are wonderful. But tonight we're talking about joy. Joy is a byproduct of allowing the Holy Spirit to fill and guide you. Joy is a byproduct of allowing the Holy Spirit to fill and guide you. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now watch this. If you and I are living lives of rebellion, or we're kind of rebellious against God, and we're resisting God, then we quench the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit. We resist the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never leaves us because we're indwelt with Him. He's the earnest of salvation. But He will stop filling our lives. And it's almost like He shrinks back and doesn't do in us what He's there to do. But when we get out of the way And every day we say, Lord, I want you to fill me. Holy Ghost of God, would you fill me with your Spirit? Lord, I surrender my will to you. I ask you to fill me. Then what you find is that surrender allows the Holy Ghost to fill you. And now you become different. You have boldness you didn't have before. You have the capacity to love you didn't have before. You have a joy that you didn't have before. You have a peace that you didn't have before. And the fruit of the Spirit begin to be evident as byproducts. Now what's wonderful is the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 is compared to the works of the flesh. And we're not going to go through all those works of the flesh, but it's important that you understand the difference between a work and a fruit. The best the flesh has to offer when it's trying its hardest is the list here in Galatians chapter 5. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest or made known, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and that's not the end of the list, and such like. So watch this. It's so important you understand this. These are the works of the flesh, the best the flesh has to offer. See, a lot of Christians don't believe that. We really believe that if we just try hard enough, we can be like Jesus. But then you have the fruit. Fruit just grows. You never see an apple tree going, if I just try harder. You know why? Because it's fruit. Under the right conditions, it just grows. And what you and I, the great work that we have to do is surrender to the Spirit. And as we surrender to the Spirit does His work. And what do people see? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So important you understand that. Joy is not something you work up. It's something you go to the right place in the right circumstances and God says, here's your cup full. And every day you and I ought to strive to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we do, we become a different person. Just like a drunk man becomes a different person. Or a drunk woman starts acting differently than she normally would. A child of God who is under the influence of the Holy Ghost will be a different person. There are two Paul Chapmans in this world. There's the spiritual Paul Chapman. He's an okay guy. There's the fleshly Paul Chapman, and he's a loser. You're like, I know. He's a loser. I don't even like him. But oh, there's that one that if I can just get out of the way, or the Holy Ghost begins to work. Wow, powerful. And so that ought to bring you hope. Say, how do I get joy? How do I work it up? You don't. You get out of the way. And you let the Holy Spirit do the work. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Watch that. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Filling with the Spirit equals joy. And so that's wonderful. So we said number four, how do we get joy? What are the sources of joy? Number four are the Spirit. Let's look at number five. Turn to Psalm chapter 51. And we've got to move quickly. Psalm chapter 51. Familiar song to many. We know that this is the prayer of confession after David's sin with Bathsheba. Look what he says in verse 7. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And boy, aren't you glad the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all of our sin. And if you're saved, keep short accounts with God. Don't let your sins pile up. Do not let your sins pile up. Keep short accounts with God every day. And hopefully many times a day. When you sin, make it right away. Don't linger. Then look at verse 8. Make me to hear what? Joy and what? Gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Now I want you to look at me. It's so important you understand this. Sin removes joy. Sin offers pleasure for a season, but it erases joy. And you've got to decide as a child of God, do you want pleasure or do you want joy? Do you want temporary feeling good at a high cost, or do you want a gladness from God that's free and available with no regret? And see, what happened is David got what he wanted. David got what his flesh wanted, but he lost his joy. And when you lose your joy, you understand how important it is. And he said, God, I need your joy back. And I'll tell you what, if you've ever had joy and then you don't have it, it's like trying to breathe when there's little oxygen. It's like, what just happened? Because it all just comes crushing down upon you, and the weight of all of your responsibilities and the world around you comes crushing, and you're like treading water and drowning, and it's like, God, I need my joy back. And sin gives you pleasure, but it takes joy. And David here says, make me to hear joy and gladness. Look at verse 10, create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. See, he needed his joy back. And this verse, I've prayed this so many times in my life, I've lost count. Lord, I need my joy back. I just, sometimes the world just kind of sucks it out of you. Something, sin will certainly do it, but sometimes you get blindsided with a problem and the weight comes crashing down on you, and you lose your joy. You're going through difficulties and your joy's missing. This world will just suck the life or the joy right out of you. And sometimes you just got to go to God and say, God, I don't know where it happened. I don't know what I did. If I did something wrong, then please, I confess it. I'll forsake it. But I need that joy back. And I promise you, God wants you to have this joy, and there's no reason to live without it. I was talking to someone afterwards today, and one reason why I preach this, and I've preached on this before, not as lengthy, but this idea of joy. But I tend, if I'm not careful, I tend not to have joy. I carry a lot of burdens, my own and others. I tend to think deeply about things. I am aware of a lot of things that can, whether it's in the world or circumstances, that just kind of suck the life out of you. But boy, I wanna have joy. I wanna be able to experience that. But here's the thought number 5: when you study Psalm 51. This joy comes through surrender. Rebellion against God generates discord and frustration. Surrender to God produces peace and joy. And notice he surrenders to God. He confesses. What's confession? You're right. I'm wrong. I surrender. And when you surrender to God, the battle ends. God's not going to keep beating you up with your sin. Satan will. Satan will beat you up with your sin for the rest of your life if you let him. But see, when you confess your sin to God, the Bible says when you confess it and forsake it, wow, that's powerful. You remove that stick from Satan. And God's not going to keep beating you up. Here's an important thought to remember. God convicts you so that you'll confess your sin. Satan condemns you so he can use your sin against you. God will never use your sin against you just to beat you up. That's how Satan works. So what do? You surrender. And once you surrender, you can say, Lord, I need my joy back. There are some of you in this room, probably, you beat yourself up daily or weekly or monthly for things that happened so long ago. And it's like a button Satan can push in your life. He just pushes the button because you've never taken the stick from him. You've never taken the button away. You confess it, you forsake it, and Satan jumps on you and says, "I remember what you did. I gave that to Jesus a long time ago." It's a blessing. Surrender. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. We talked about these sources of joy. We talked about the scripture, a salvation, supplication, the spirit, a surrender. Is this helping you? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 4. "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy." And here's number 6. I think this is another source of joy, and that is godly people. I use the word society here for because I needed an S. Amen. But I'm not talking about the world, society, and the world. Boy, they'll chew you up and spit you out if you let them. But I mean godly people, surrounding yourself with godly people. They ought to bring a joy to you. You know, the Bible says each one of us can have a ministry of encouragement. And we ought to. Don't ever be the type of Christian that when people see you running, they want to go, when people see you coming, they want to go the other way. Because you don't have anything good to say. Be a cheerleader for people. Be someone that breathes life into people. You know, Proverbs 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Every word you say has the ability to breathe life into people or to suck life out of them. And I encourage you this even in your close relationships. In your marriage, be careful how you talk about each other. Be careful how you talk to each other. You know, honey, can you put the ketchup away? I just got the ketchup out. You can put the ketchup. What? It's ketchup, you know. Honey, can you hand me a Kleenex? Get the Kleenex yourself. I mean, sometimes it's like the way we talk to each other. Are you too mad at each other? No, this is just how we talk to each other. And if you're not careful, you just get used to talking to each other that way. And man, let me tell you what happens. You start to build a thick skin. And then when you want them to feel, you're mad at them because they don't. But they also have a hard time feeling because you've been beating them up. Happens all the time in marriage counseling. Well, why do they respond that way? Well, maybe it's because you've been treating them that way for years. We all have these protections where we put up walls. And what you got to learn is if you want to live without walls and you want to really connect with people, then you have to help them be safe by not being rough with them. It doesn't mean you don't tell them the truth. It doesn't mean you don't deal with difficult subjects. It means they trust you. They trust you. They don't build up those walls. And in a marriage, in a family, in parent and children, in church member relationships, we can take down those walls for sure. But see, society, spending time with godly people induces joy. Look at Romans chapter 15. You see this throughout the scripture. There were certain people the Apostle Paul wanted to see. Looking forward to spending time with them. Romans chapter 15 and verse 32. "That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed." Do you know people that it's like you just get a conversation with them and you feel refreshed? You just feel like, man, I needed that. But there's also people that you talk to them and you feel dirty because they just have a filthy mouth or their mind's always in the gutter. There's people you talk to and it's like, boy, you talk to them and they just wear you out because it's always a this and it's this and it's... And it may not even be a problem with you. It might be, you know, the world's falling apart, Iran's getting ready to conquer us, and North Korea's going to hit us with a nuke, you know, and they hate the president or they love this guy. Or it's like, goodness, is there anything good in this life? You know, is there anything that we can generate a smile together? Can we talk about Jesus? Can we talk about God? Can we talk about the good things? Can we encourage one another? And so society is a great opportunity to induce joy. And let me say this is why, as a pastor, I want so desperately to protect this I talk about all the time. It's a safe zone. It's a safe place. That's why it's so devastating when rumblings and the background things and the, well, do you know, and if you knew, and all this kind of stuff, that is deadly, because it helps us all, or it encourages us all, to shrink back from the church, which is one of the great sources of joy that God has for us, where we ought to be able to come together and love and encourage and, hey, praise God, and here's what God did for me, and I love the testimonies that you gave this evening, because God is doing some good stuff. But boy, you hear some people talk, it's like God's dead and the world's spinning out of control. We might as well all go jump off a cliff. No, no. God's in control. He's on his throne. By the way, how's your health? You know, by the way, I've been praying for your brother. You know, by the way, are you doing okay? Is there anything you need me to pray about? And what you'll find is that there are so many hurting hearts in this room right now. So many hurting hearts that everybody in this room could use someone to walk up to them and put a hand on their shoulder and look them in their eyeball and sincerely say, I'm praying for you. And I'm pulling for you. And if you need anything this week, you give me a call. Let's pray on the phone. There isn't a person in this room that something inside of them isn't like, boy, I need that. But the truth is, almost every church member in America, maybe the world, in the back of their mind wonders if they belong. I just don't know if I belong here. I just don't know if I. I just don't. I wish I had more friends. When the truth is, we're surrounded by them. If we understand that and we're willing to pull the walls down and love one another. The joy, the society. 2 John 12, listen to this verse. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. Boy, there's nothing like looking someone in the eyeball and just having an edifying conversation. Praise God for that. Let's look at the next well of joy. Turn to Psalm 89. You need joy? We're teaching you where to get it. Psalm 89. And look at verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. So the Bible says there is a joyful sound. The Bible also says that there is a song of fools. And God says there is joy to be found in the right music. Look at Psalm 98. In verse 4, the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of a cornet, make joyful noise before the Lord the King. And so song, music, is such a powerful way to change the atmosphere of any room or situation. And I'll give you a personal illustration. This morning, I haven't been feeling well for the last week or two, and of course was sick a week or so ago, and then came back from this trip, and this morning I was dragging. I mean, just like raising the dead to get out of bed. And I was up, and I was working this morning, but boy, I just felt like I was dragging. I was dragging and working on my message and looking over some things and just doing some final stuff. And I'm sitting there, and the kids are getting ready, and I thought, boy, I'm just dragging. Well, finally it hit me. Well, hey, you know what to do. Turn on some good music. And I finally turned on some good music, and man, it changed everything. Begin to lighten my spirit. Begin to get my mind to focus on the Lord. Beautiful songs about salvation. Beautiful songs about, one song came on that talked about the Father for a little while. I got excited. Talked about the Son for a little while. I got more excited. Talked about the Spirit for a little while. Guy singing his heart out. Song came on about the blood of Jesus and a a song about going back to the Old Testament and picturing a young boy who was the firstborn in a family on the night of the Passover, and his daddy went out and put the blood on the post, but the boy, the later it got and the storm came, and he's like, "Hey, daddy, will you go out and make sure that blood's still there? Because I want to make sure that blood's still there." And boy, I got excited. And then it talked about the blood was there and that boy was safe. And then sometimes in this life, we begin to wonder, can God really forgive all of our sin? Will we really be able to go to heaven? Is salvation really real? And it talks about you go check that blood. Father, is the blood still there? Hey, the blood's still there. And let me tell you something, friend. After I got into that for a while, I was ready for church. I was ready to preach. You know why? Because music changes your heart. It changes what you focus on. It has the ability to change an entire atmosphere in a room. And I'm talking about good Christian music. I'm not for the worldly type Christian music. If I wanted to listen to worldly music, I'd go to the ones who do it the best. But let me tell you something. I want songs that point to Jesus. I want songs that glorify God. I want songs that draw me into the presence of God, not wall me off away from it. And powerful music, good music, is so powerful. People sing when they're glad. My wife told me one time, she said, I was going through the house and whistling. Of course, she was in the bed, door closed, and she's in there in pain. And I was whistling outside, and I went in to check on her. And she said, I love it when you whistle. I said, why? Most people complain, you know. And she said, because to me that means everything's okay. We tend to sing when we're happy. But watch this. Good singing can also make you happy. It can change what you're thinking about, change what your mind is on, and joyful song can cheer the sad. Try it this week. Turn on some good music. It'll change your heart. In the morning, listen to music that's kind of moving and maybe some nice quartet songs or some songs that get you up and moving. And then at night before you go to bed, if you've got music on, put on some nice hymns or some slower music. It'll kind of bring the mood down in the house and kind of relax everybody. Now, if you listen to that in the morning, you'll be sleeping in your oatmeal. But in the morning, you listen to something that kind of gets you moving and it gets you ready for the day. And at night, it calms you down. Music is such a powerful tool and such a gift from God. So this is a well of salvation. This is a faucet of joy. All right, let's look at the next one. Proverbs chapter 15. And this is one of those ones that you don't really ever think about until you read it in the Bible, and it's like, wow, that is so simple, but yet it's so powerful. Proverbs chapter 15, and let's look at verse 20. All right, Proverbs 15, 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his friend's mouth. Oh, wait, that's not what it says, is it? That's how we think. And by the way, that's true. We talked about that already, that somebody can encourage our hearts. But that's not what this verse says. This verse says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? This is so simple, but so powerful. Think about this. You can cheer up yourself by how you speak to others. You can cheer up yourself by how you speak to others. It is a well-known fact that someone can bring you joy by their words. God will use that in your life, and thank God for it. But watch this. The whole purpose of joy is teaching us that we're not a victim of circumstance. That there's joy available anytime we want it. And what this verse is teaching is that it gives me joy when I speak right. It gives me joy when I encourage someone else. And so now I'm not a victim to how you speak to me. I can have joy in how I speak to you. And it goes on to say, a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Let me tell you something, friend. You will do yourself a very, very, very large favor when you learn to try to tame this thing right here. James chapter 3 talks a lot about it. And I know the tongue no man can tame, but there's a lot of Bible verses that talk about, Lord, set a watch on my lips. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There's an awful lot of Bible verses about taming this thing right here and getting this tongue in check and getting this mouth. But listen, you can hurt yourself by how you speak to others, or you can encourage yourself by how you speak to others. Boy, we can work ourselves into a frenzy, can't we, when we start talking? We can convince ourselves to be angry, to be sad. But what if I used my mouth to help others and God says, I will reward you with joy for using your mouth for me? That is a life changer. Because now I can have joy every day. You'll also hurt yourself. How many of you have ever said something with this mouth and boy, it ate you up for days because you shouldn't have said it? It'll gut you. It'll eat you up. But the opposite's also true. It can be a well of joy in your life using your words for the glory of God and to edify others. The Bible says that the words of our mouth should be seasoned with grace. Just like you'd take salt and put it on a steak or makes the potatoes better. Every word we say ought to be seasoned with grace. And that brings us joy. Well, that's a good truth. Look at Psalm 126. We said sources of joy. Number one, the scripture. Number two, salvation. Number three, supplication. Number four, the spirit. Number five, surrender. Number six, society. Number seven, song. Number eight, speech. Number nine, service. The Bible has a lot to say about this, but look at this great verse in Psalm 126. Speaking of captivity, look at verse 4. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And so these were people in captivity. These are people going through a rough time, and God gave them this truth. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves or his harvest with him. Here's a wonderful truth. You get joy by serving God. You get joy by helping others. One of the best things you can do if you're having a rough day is you start praying, Lord, let me give a tract to somebody today. Lord, let me give the gospel to somebody today. One of the things we do for people who are depressed is with depression, they're so self-focused on all of their pains and their hurts and their feelings that one of the most important things we can do is get their eyes off themselves and get them on other people. So whatever they can do, can they visit a nursing home? Can they go buy, you know, some dollar carnations and take them to the senior center? Can they bake some cookies for a shut-in? And what they find is when they get their eyes off themselves and they enter into other people's lives, they find joy. How many of you have ever tried to help somebody and you got more joy out of it than you provided for them? You go to the hospital and you try to encourage somebody and they're there rejoicing in the Lord. Maybe they're on their deathbed or maybe they just had some terrible difficulty and they are encouraging you as you're encouraging them and you leave and you're like, I got the better end of that deal. I came here to help them and I got helped. Or you go out soul winning and I know it's discouraging sometimes as people don't want to listen, but let me tell you something. You find someone that'll listen, you find someone to get saved, that'll keep you going for a long time. There's a lot of joy in that. Or even sometimes when people don't necessarily listen, you can walk away with joy in your heart because you did what you were supposed to do, and God gives you joy. You see, the joy of Christian service is always available. The Bible has a lot to say about that. Look at Philippians chapter 4. We went to the nursing home today, and boy, I tell you, I was tired again, and I don't really feel like going, but we went, and those precious ladies are such a blessing, and we had two visitors today that were a blessing, and one elderly man that came, and he's so sweet. He'd never been to our service before, but you could tell he was singing the songs and such, and he said, I knew some of these young ladies that were coming to the service. Now, the young ladies are late 80s and early 90s. He said, I knew some of the young ladies were enjoying this service, and I wanted to come and check you out, make sure it was legit. That was his words, you know. And here's this man, he's in a wheelchair, but he wanted to come and check out, and he said, that was a blessing. And I thought, man, we left there being blessed, probably more of a blessing than we were able to give them. And so it works that way. And praise the Lord. But look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You know, there's a wonderful joy of watching those who you've served continue to follow the Lord. You know, John said, there's no greater joy than my children walk in truth. What a blessing. But here the Bible talks about converts in the Scripture repeatedly as my joy and my crown. Get this, my crown in heaven, my joy on earth. It's beautiful. It's beautiful watching people that you've loved and you've helped. Now, it's very, very painful watching people that you've invested in go the opposite way. It's very painful. But there's nothing quite like seeing somebody that you've helped do well. Father's Day this year, I was having a bit of a tough time. I didn't say anything about it, but we buried my dad a couple years ago. And it's hard not having him around, just to call. You know, we didn't talk often, but it's hard not having him there to call, you know, and say Happy Father's Day and those types of things. And I was a little bit down about it. And I got a text from a girl that came to this church years and years ago. And on Father's Day, and she said, I just want to thank you for the influence you've had in my life. She said, you've been a spiritual father to me. And I tell you what, that went a long way helping me that day. Because sometimes you see all of your problems, you forget all the good that God's used you to do. And there are people in this room, you've served God for a while, you've done an awful lot of good. And you can look around at that and say, hey, praise God. Praise God for the small influence that I have been able to have. Do you know there's going to be people in heaven because of you sitting in this room? There are people already in heaven now enjoying the glories of Christ because of you. That ought to put a smile on your face. That ought to do a little something in your heart. Years ago, I was in Bible college and I got a letter from my mom, a young man that I had led to the Lord. She had read in the newspaper, he got a flat tire on the side of a highway. He was changing his tire. I believe I got the story right. He was changing his tire on the side of the highway. A car came through and sideswiped his car as he was changing his tire, killed him instantly. And she said, didn't you win that boy to the Lord? And I remember walking down that street. I remember knocking on his door. I remember he never did great things for the Lord, but he was happy to be saved. He's been in heaven for years and years and years. Folks, that ought to bring a little joy. And maybe you're here tonight and you're like, well, I haven't done a lot for the Lord. Well, man, if you're still breathing, you've got a chance to do that. There are things you can do. There are people you can reach. You will get joy in Christian service. Those of you that work with the children today, I know sometimes they make you want to pull your hair out. But you're making an impact in their lives. Powerful. A joy. Let me show you the last one here. 1 Peter chapter 4. These wells of joy. You say, well, I've tried three of them and they're not working. Well, you got eight more, seven more. You got a lot of ground to cover here. And this is the beauty of it, is joy is available. One of these things is going to work for you at any given time to bring joy into your life. 1 Peter chapter 4, and oh, I like this one. Look at verse 13. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. I'm happy to tell you that Christ is coming. I mean, he's coming. And that ought to be some joy. When he shows up, if you're one of the lucky ones, if our generation is one of the lucky ones that we don't have to die, that we get translated directly to heaven, let me tell you, in that moment, there's going to be exceeding joy. I mean, it will make anything that you have ever gone through in this life pale. It will be forgotten in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You will see Christ. Let me tell you, when your feet hit heaven's shores, no trial on this life's going to matter. People say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God. When you get to heaven, you're going to be so overcome with His glory, you're not going to ask Him a thing except maybe, why in the world did you save me? Heaven ain't about you and about your problems. It is about the overwhelming glory of God. And whenever I say Jesus comes, let me just encourage you, if you are heavenly minded, there's a part of you that says, Lord, I'd be so happy if you'd come tonight. But if you're fleshly minded, and a preacher talks about the second coming, if your heart is too entwined in this world, when the preacher mentions the second coming, you say, oh, I hope it's not tonight. It's a litmus test about whether my heart is, my affections are set above or on the earth. Because the second coming of Christ should bring us exceeding joy. I don't know where you're at today, but I suspicion that you need some joy. And you're going to need it tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And what I want you to do is take this list of 10 things. I'll even post it online for you this week. I'll post a sermon. I'll post a list for you. You take these 10 things and you say, I have joy available. And you just go for it. And what you'll find is you won't be able to do all 10 of these without getting your cup full and without having joy. And it will change your experience in this life. Let's get some joy. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Lord, we thank you for the joy that's available. Forgive us for not having it more often. And I know as we talked this morning, real troubles come and we are going to bottom out at times. And things are going to sideswipe us and we're going to get the joy zapped right from us. And sometimes we forget that we're not victims, that we can have it. And then we forget where to get it. And then we don't necessarily spend the time to get it. But Lord, help this to be a priority in our lives. And the world should be able to see Christians with some joy that's not available to them. And it's one of the marks of Christianity. And I pray they'd see it in us. And I pray that we could bring you glory by exhibiting joy in the difficult situations of life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Of course, if you're here tonight, you're not sure you're saved. Do not leave this place lost. Do not leave this service in your sin. There's no reason for it. Salvation's available. Jesus will save you right now. Let us help you if you're not sure you're saved. Let us show you what it means to put your faith in Jesus. If you're here tonight and you're saved, and maybe you haven't been experiencing joy, you're not going to find it in the world. You're not going to find it in a pill or a bottle. You're going to find it from God. Joy is gladness from God, and we learned where to get it. Let's stand. If the Lord spoke to your heart, maybe there's a specific area. Maybe there's some sin. Maybe there's some resistance. Maybe there's something specific that you want to pray about. Maybe you're doing everything you know how to do and the joy is just not coming and you want to come and say, God, I just need some joy. Maybe it's something totally unrelated to the message tonight. But if you need an audience with God, He honors it when you leave your seat, you walk to the front, you bow your knee. God honors that. And so as the piano plays, the altar's open. Folks are already here. You come. As the piano plays, the altar's open.